This is NADRRZ, you listening?
K8RUH.
Degrees, should I wear shorts?
I've got my flip-flops on.
Of course, I haven't really driven much, so I don't know if it's going to stay at 10. Usually when I start driving within a couple miles, it changes. Anywho, just jumping out here onto the Quinder. Looks a little damp, but it doesn't look treacherous. How are you doing this morning?
I am good. I am turning on to Quinder also at 11 mile. I got 12 degrees, so it may tick a couple notches, but it is cold, and it's not going to change.
You know, it's funny. It's 12 degrees, and it doesn't feel terrible to me, you know. I got a good heavy coat on and baseball cap, and I don't know, it's weird. I mean, sometimes I feel it, but it's weird how we run around in this stuff after a little while and you just kind of get used to it. It's cold, don't get me wrong, but I would have been just bitching and complaining, you know, a month ago. Now I'm like, okay, it's cold.
Yep, and it's supposed to stay real cold through the weekend. I'm actually, I'm going to head up north tomorrow mid-morning and go screw around with some buddies and then ski on Saturday. And it's not supposed to be much warmer, so it'll be cold. But like you said, if you dress right and you have the right gear, not that big of a deal.
I would bet skiing in this has got to be both good and tricky. Good because the snow would be nice and powdery, fluffy, and should be good skiing. I don't know. I don't ski, so. But it seems to me that this is the good kind of snow. And then, but dressing warm and not being too, you know, Christmas story little brother. You gotta find that happy medium in order to be, you know, mobile while you're skiing without cold. And then, of course, when you're going downhill at a good clip, you know, that adds the wind factor.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because the hard part is dressing warm enough, but not warm enough to sweat while you're, you know, while you're working, skiing, and, if you don't have the right gear, you could definitely turn into the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and honestly, it just takes figuring it out, dialing it in, and having all the right gear, and unfortunately, paying the price for the right gear, and then you'll stay comfortable all day long. The only thing that gets cold on me is my feet. My feet just cash out, like, really quick. And I've had frostbite on over the years. Maybe not frostbite, but frost nip. I've really got my toes in quite the situation over the years, and they just cash out really fast.
Yeah, ditto. My feet are hard to keep warm. I got some really good wool socks. I think we were talking about it before, and I think I got a pair of the ones that we talked about. And that helps. In fact, I should be wearing them now, but I'm not. I should get a couple pairs just for this kind of weather. The boots I have are, they wear like tennis shoes, except they're heavier. They're a leather upper kind of, you know, Timberline kind of looking boot. They're not heavy. They're significantly heavier than dress shoes or tennis shoes, but, you know, they're sure to be in boots. And So they're not the warmest, and I could use a little help. You ever try electric anything? I know I see people with electric coats, socks, and stuff like that. You ever try any of that stuff?
So I have a pair of electric socks, but they're like Amazon ones. And if I was just wearing them in boots, like regular boots, like, you know, that you walk around in like you just described, they would be great. They do not fit well in my ski boots because I wear my ski boots much like people wear it's super tight, and they're just not a very high-quality sock. There are a couple companies that make very high-end electric socks that, from my understanding, work extremely well. The problem being is they're very expensive. So, I have not made that investment, but people that have electric jackets, electric socks, electric gloves, they seem to like them. So, I don't know. And along with those socks you were talking about, the wool socks, I don't know if you have a Costco membership, but Costco has merino wool socks, and they come in like a four-pack for $15 or $20. I think they're on sale right now for $10. And they are some of the best merino wool socks I've ever found. They're like a mid-calf hiking sock, and they're incredible. I wear them almost every day, and they're warmer, and they, with merino wool, they don't tend to stink, and they're just great socks. They're highly, highly reviewed.
Hey, Parlor Donut on 16 Mile de Quinter finally opened. You introduced me to that place a while back, and they got one here at 16 and de Quinter now. But yeah, that sounds good. Hey, if you're ever in Costco and you see them, grab me a set. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah, I'll do that. If I see some, I'll grab you a pack. I'll shoot you a text and get your size and everything, make sure I buy the right ones. But I would imagine they span a large array of sizes, so it's probably close to one size fits all. But yeah, I'll do that, especially if they're on sale. I'll snag you a pack.
What size boot do you wear?
Oh, I got little dinky feet. I have a 9.
Oh, yeah, that's a little on the smallish side, but yeah, I'm like 10 and a half, 11. It depends. 10 and a half wide or 11. That's about where I'm at. Anywho, and yeah, good deal. So you got the, switching gears here completely on the Hoyt stuff. You got one of the Ciscos, correct? I think that's what I heard. And then I'm wondering, are you also running an app like Groundwire?
I am not. I do have one of the Ciscos from the original go-round when everybody was getting them like 2 years ago, maybe longer at this point. And I saw a little hubbub, people talking on one of the Discords. I was like, I got to get that thing out. So I got it out. I got it on my Wi-Fi. I got it linked up to the Hams over IP. Now I just got to go through and figure out how to program the hotkeys and the sidecar and, get rolling with it. I do not have Groundwire. I think, is that the service that you can actually have a phone number and use it as a actual desk phone?
Groundwire is basically like a virtual Cisco for your Android phone. I don't know if you're Android or Apple, but it's basically a VoIP client, and you would put your credentials that you got from Hams over IP in there, and then you'd be able to make and receive HOIP calls on your phone. I use it quite a bit, much more than I thought. Wally usually calls me there when we're gabbing and others, and then sometimes I'll join one of the conference bridges from that. And I can use my Bluetooth headset, you know, on my phone. So I do tend to use the groundwire quite a bit. It's like $4.99 one time forever. So, and I think you could have it on multiple devices, I think. Not sure about that, though. But anyhow, it's just a virtual, VoIP client on your device. Are you Android or iPhone? I know I've probably asked you this 1,000 times.
I am an iPhone guy.
All right, yeah, so they've got their, I don't think it's groundwire, but they have one the iPhone guys use. I don't know what it is. I should probably find out, because this comes up all the time, you know, and then when I find out the person's not got an Android, I should quickly have the, oh, well, then in that case you want such and such. But quite for me, I don't know what it is. We'll have to hit up the iPhone guys.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out once I get a little further into it. I might, maybe I'll spend a little time on it tonight or tomorrow morning and get the sidecar programmed and everything. And I haven't even made a call out yet, or obviously haven't received one if I haven't made a call out. But, yeah, it seems interesting, and just got to figure out what its place is in my repertoire of communication here. One of the reasons I never really got into it is because I was like, what am I going to do with this thing? I never really understood why I would need it, but it seems like more and more people are getting it, so I figured I'd get mine in action.
You know, it's hard to explain how it has a tie to ham radio. You know, if you can dial the FBI network and get on the FBI network, you can dial into the Mecca. You can dial into a lot of different, the East Coast Reflector. You can dial WT8X Aaron. He's got some audio feeds. You can dial 1024-24, and it'll give you a, for one, you know, for this, press 1. For this, press 2. For this, press 3. And it's got a whole series of audio feeds that you can listen to. Again, I don't know how any of this really applies to ham radio directly, but what we're doing is, you know, then, like when Wally calls me directly on it, he could just as easily call my regular cell phone, and it would be indistinguishable. You know, so I don't know that there's an advantage, except for one's using data, and the other one's, I don't know, probably any more, same thing, but the key is, eventually, we're going to get this freed of the internet. We're going to get it on the MI6 network, and then, you know, if you, you know, get on the MI6 network natively at your home, now you've got this whole, you know, high-quality VoIP service, and it's detached from the public, you know, network, switch network completely, so we maintain it, and, you know, with all the hardening that we do at our sites, you presumably should have that working if everything else fails, and, you know, so I guess that's the tie-in once we get it detached from the internet. So right now we're just playing and having fun. The conferences and the bridges are a lot of fun. We'll get in it. We'll do a conference, you know, like there's a WAMAC conference. Last night we had about, oh no, I'm sorry, we were on the Discord chat, but, you know, sometimes three or four of us will get on there and it's just like a conference call and we horse around with that a little bit. We do that mostly for recreational stuff, like when we're drinking and watching cat videos.
Cool. Well, then it sounds like it's a good thing I'm pushing to get it all set up, because the long-term goal is greater than what it is currently. Hey, I got up out of the car. I'll try to be back in just a second. KE8RUH.
No problem. I'll be here for a bit, anyhow. W8FU. I'm finally in the car, but I got to make one pit stop, and then I'll be rolling. NAPDF. Good morning. Good morning. Another nice chilly one. 12 degrees. Don't know what to do with myself. All right. I don't know if you were making your stop now. If so, no need to reply. If you're on your way to your stop, whatever. But I'm at Utica, 16-mile road, so I got a little ways to go here. Got a donut stop and coffee stop to make, but in general, plugging my way along. I'm at the gas station. I'll be right back. And now the journey begins. Where do you make your stop? I presume when you get out to Van Dyke and some such road. That mobile right at 53 and Dryden on the northeast side, so I can see it from my kitchen. Roger. Yeah, 53 and Dryden. Okay, I know where that is. I love Dryden. It's a great little town. Blink and you miss it, but I like that area. Yeah, it's not bad out here. It's not a lot of convenience. Kind of got to go to Romeo or Lapeer if you really want to get anything done. It's pretty okay. You got a broker, a restaurant, but anything, you know, home improvement-wise or bigger shopping of the sort, you're not doing it here. Lapeer's pretty much got everything, right? I like Lapeer a lot. Seems like it has just about everything you could possibly want. How far are you out of there? Out of Lapeer? I love Lapeer. That's where we go for pretty much everything that we can't do real quick around the corner. So I can't think of anything we haven't been able to get done there. It's probably 15 to 20, depending on the weather. All right, well, that's not horrible. And Romeo, what's Romeo? But Romeo itself doesn't have all that much. You got to run south another, you know, you got to run south another 5-6 miles to get to the big stuff. But what's Romeo? Same or longer, shorter?
That's correct. Romeo's got a little bit more as far as food and got the same small stores that we have, our Tractor Supply and stuff, but it's same distance, I'd say. Probably the exact distance, actually. Well, same time, a couple of miles.
Right. Well, that's a little annoying, but not terrible. Not terrible. I've got a couple of things that I can only do that are 15 minutes or so away, and I know some days I don't feel like it. I'm like, yeah. But I have alternatives, you know. There's a restaurant we really like to get carry out from. And it's about 15 minutes away exactly, plus or minus, and, well, usually plus. And some days I just like, eh, I don't feel like running there. Because I have choices closer, but it wouldn't be bad if I had to make that run. So very good, and you get to be out there in the city.
Might get a little noisy here going through town. So what's it like down where you're at? Is it? I feel like there's a misconception that everything's, you know, right around the corner. Is that true, or do you still have to kind of work your way towards a couple things?
Oh, I got pretty much everything within a few minutes. You know, but if you want a specific, like we like this Mexican restaurant in St. Clair Shores, and that's a 15-minute drive for me. But that's a very specific restaurant, you know, in a very specific city. But if I want Mexican, there's probably 10, at minimum 10 others that are much closer. You know, I've got, let's see, I'm just trying to think. I'm talking about genuine Mexican restaurants. I'm not talking about Taco Bell or Del Taco. I've got one that's a mile away. Second one's about a mile and a half. You know, so I got everything really close, a lot of choice and all that stuff, but, you know, any very specific thing you want could be, you know, 15, 20 minutes away.
What Mexican restaurant is that? K-E-8-R-U-H.
El Charo.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, that place is worth the drive.
You familiar with, I thought when I said a Mexican place in St. Clair Shores, anybody that's a fan of the puppy taco would just say, El Charo's. So since you asked, are you familiar with them, Anthony?
Oh, yeah. I just had to make sure. I was like, what Mexican restaurant could he be talking about that he would drive all the way over there? But that's totally it. We go there kind of regularly, and but I like going to the one in Fraser, too. It's a little bit nicer. You get to sit down.
I haven't been there in a minute, but I might have to I'm pretty sure that St. Clair Shores on the DoorDash of the office. I should check that out.
Dakota, there's one in Macomb, I think at 23 in Heinrich, 23 in North.
I think it's 21 in Card. And so that one would be pretty close for you. And, but, yeah, home of the Puppy Taco. I don't know that they're authentic, but what they do is uniquely them. And found nowhere else that matches that puppy taco. If you like them, and I, you know, we do. So, and the rest of the stuff's very good too. But yeah, 21 and Card is one location. That's not terribly far from the Dakota.
I didn't know there was one that close. Yeah, that's definitely on the DoorDash map.
Well, I think we know what Dakota's eating for lunch now.
Sean must be doing the coffee stop. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see, because I got to get a haircut today. It's about 6 inches longer than it's supposed to be. So whatever is convenient on the way back to the office is probably what I'm going to grab.
Yep, makes sense. I stopped on my way home yesterday and got a haircut. It was a necessary thing to get done. It was getting too long.
I am wearing a pretty sick Origin t-shirt today, though, that my buddy gave me, so appreciate that. Are you around tomorrow? Did you ever figure that out so I can bring those jackets? I'm not in my truck today, and I don't think I will be tomorrow, so I got to make sure I've got them if you're going to be in the area.
My intention is to be in the area. I am heading north tomorrow, hopefully mid-morning, midday, and I would just swing out your way and grab those and then head up 59 to 75.
All right, I'll text my wife, make sure she's got them somewhere. Last time I saw them, they were laying on our bed, and that's never a good thing because I didn't move them. And I know I've got the Milwaukee jacket hanging. I don't know where she put my car hearts, but yeah, I'll throw those in the truck. So if you swing by, you can grab them.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited to try out that Milwaukee jacket for sure. I don't have any. Sean and I were just talking about it. I don't have any electric jackets or anything of the sort. I got some inexpensive electric socks from Amazon that are subpar at best, I would say. I got what I paid for.
I'd like to add a pair of those to the arsenal.
I got to find out what I bought my dad, because I remember going through that research rabbit hole because you can get so many different, you know, Chinese ones on Amazon. And I ultimately ended up buying him a pair that was like $80, and he still wears them. They're like 4 years old. He absolutely loves them. I just can't remember. They might have been Aurora. That's the best eyewear. I love it. It's super heavy, high quality. It's got a nice, small, slim battery pack. forewarning, that's the only thing that you might not like about that Milwaukee jacket, and that's kind of why I don't wear it, is it takes a M12 stick battery, which is already not small to have in your pocket, and then it's got a inverter on it, like an adapter, so it's kind of weird. But you're a smaller dude than I am, so it's probably going to fit you way better.
Well, we'll give it a try. Is it going to come with a battery, or do I got to acquire a battery?
I'm not going to do that. It comes with a battery.
All right. Yeah, I don't know anything about the Milwaukee ecosystem, so I don't know if a M12 is something that you use in a bunch of other tools. If it is and I end up not liking the fit of the jacket, I will certainly get it back to you.
I'm a red tool guy through and through. I got dozens of batteries, so if you don't like it, sure, I'll rehome it, but I have a feeling you're going to like it because it's going to fit you better. Sean, what size jacket are you?
I honestly don't know. I mean, if you're talking about 44, 46, 48, like that, generally a large jacket is what I gravitate towards. When I'm in my proper size, a medium is perfect, but I'm a fat boy now, and I got to wear a large.
Okay, so I think you're about the size of my dad. I think you're just a little bit shorter because he's taller than me, and I think I'm taller than you. So it's a struggle. I never know what to do with my clothes when I don't have a use for them anymore if I don't like them because no one else is my size.
Hey guys, I gotta get to it. I will catch up with you gentlemen this afternoon, maybe. KE8RUH.
Okie doke. Have fun. I am eyeballing my parking lot as we speak.
All right, Anthony, take it easy, man. And I am way late in the game. I'm at 34 here.
I woke up a little early and had another bout of that vertigo, and it seems to be only when I'm lying down and then I shift positions. There's a name for it, like BPPV or something like that. It's a mechanical thing, the crystals in your ear that keep you upright. Some of them get out of their place and into your I wouldn't call it the ear canal, but they get into the gyroscope area and mess you up. There's actually a mechanical procedure to fix it, and so I got to figure that out and do it. It's like, you know, turn your head this way, do this, move this way, do that. It's like my head spins listening to it, and that's what I'm trying to stop. But anyhow, George is already here. Look at him go. Man, Mr. Early Bird. Parking as we speak.
Well, hopefully you can nip that in the butt and stop having those spouts. That's a bummer. But, all right, man. Yeah, have a good day, and I'm sure I'll talk to you this afternoon at 8 p.m.
All right, drive safe. Looks like pretty much the only thing we got to deal with today is the cold. So, you know, we do that all the time. All righty, gotta get inside here, start my day. W8FU.
KCKJO.
Morning, Tom.
Good morning.
I'm starting to get on your schedule here.
How's that?
You're usually hitting the road around what, 7:15?
Yeah, something like that. Trying to keep a routine. I mean, there's days where, you know, I'm a little bit later. You know, I get up at like 7 o'clock. I'm like, oh, crap. And, you know, I'm usually out of the house within, what, 30 minutes?
Same here. I try to be as confused. consistent as I can, but today not so much. Woke up at 6:27-ish. Woke up at 3:30, couldn't go back to sleep, so then I fell back asleep, and of course that wrecks you. So then I got out of bed at like 6:30, and I don't remember what time I got out the door. Just pretty much started the truck, showered, got dressed, and left. So in less than 15 minutes.
Yeah, I got up at 6:26, got the dogs out, fed my daughter's cat upstairs, and of course, you know, got my coffee, got dressed, let the dogs in, made my lunch, and then was out the door.
That's a good time. How's that antenna working?
Fantastic. I can hit the double nickel. Of course, I can hit Richmond on 7.2. I can hit 2.6. Actually, I hit Richmond. I still got to try Warren, but I think I can hit Warren because I know I can hit G-Mark down there in Detroit. I can hit Tim and Richmond on 446 Simplex. The only buggy thing is I can hear him on 46.58, but he can't hear me. When he's, you know, but his diamond is behind his house. And so the way he's facing, the way I'm facing, is by an odd duck. But, I mean, I got it vertical, going straight south, more or less.
He might just be in the peripheral of that cone. That is kind of weird, though. Well, no, it kind of makes sense. I don't know. You could always just turn it and see.
Oh, I didn't send you a picture of how I have it mounted yet, did I?
I think you did, didn't you? Like up in the trusses?
Yes. So I can't really move it, you know, because the bolts that are mounted, you know, the U-bolt mounted on the copper pipe, you know, and then the bolts go on each side of that truss, you know, that 2x4, and then I have it taped to that 2x4, so really it doesn't have any way for movement, but which is okay. I can hit them on UHF Simplex, and I can hit straight south, so that's what I'm happy about. As long as I can hit 47.2 and a couple of UHF repeaters, I think I'm good to go.
Now, if you wanted to mess with it, you could probably go get some half-inch recorder TVC and some joints and a little makeshift stand for it. You could rotate it.
Yeah, probably when the weather is warmer or something like that, I'll try messing with it a little bit more. I'm just content at its current operational capacity.
Yeah, it's serving its purpose, which makes me happy because that was just sitting in my basement, so I'm glad that it's got a good use and a good home now. I had to take it from my kids a couple times. I'm like, oh, God, they're going to destroy this thing. But, it was funny on UHF. It was a 2-meter side band. I had just some weird, it just didn't want to go low enough. I don't know.
Yeah, thank you for it. Like I said, it's serving its purpose. You know, I can get down to Richmond without having to stand up against the back wall of the attic with my HT to reach the 47.2 receiver down here in Richmond. You know, so I'm up there. I get a little bit of static on the back feet, you know, on the receive, but they say they can hear me 5.9 on it, so it works for me. They're coming across maybe a 4.9, but still, it's good.
Good, but I don't know if you got any radios that do crossbands, but that's another fun thing you can do that I really enjoy. Can't do it now because I have a 7.5 hooked up as a base. So when I had a 2730 as a base, that was a crossband repeat. Instead of using my nose, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, the Omeco had a crossband repeat. I got a find my book and read up on that, and I could probably do that. You know, but I can hit Richmond on UHF by my HD. But yeah, I'm gonna try that. Do a crossband from UHF to VHF and see how that runs. I normally don't leave the radio on up there, but I'll give that a try since I have the capability. Might as well. And then I got my hands over IP, Cisco all programmed, and that's hipping and hopping. I got my VoIP service working on that, and then Captain gave me a mesh-tastic last night when I was over at his house, and he said, "You get it working, it's yours," and I ordered another one, so I got the mesh-tastic all set up last night, you know, reflashed and stuff, so something else to tinker around with.
I wouldn't advise you to your radio, because you're going to set it up that way. Only reason I came to mine was I walked past the Warren channel on this radio, and I saw the X-Band channel that I have on here. And it's cool. I mean, it's something fun to mess around with. And so you got a mesh-tastic on now? Is that what I heard? I was passing somebody, and this little 2.7 turbo is screaming.
Yeah, it's called a 919 Charlie. I think it's a Loya or something like that from when I flashed it. I haven't really did a lot with it. I just flashed it last night. That took about a half hour. You know, I wiped out whatever was in it and then reflashed it. And it worked. And I haven't done anything more with it. It doesn't have a battery connected to it, so it's sitting in my laptop bag, but got the power cable for it, so I'm going to plug it in and see. And just leave it up here on the dashboard and see how it rolls.
Sweet. Welcome to the club. I have a little SenseCap T1000 notes clipped to my backpack every day. So I'm curious if you'll be able to hear anything out by me. I've got a solar node acting as a repeater, and then guy down the road from me has got one as well. But I can literally text, well, I don't know what you call it, message. I can get through to Dave from my house in the kitchen, all through RF, no internet.
Yeah, I gotta find like a little antenna for it, you know, that I can, you know, plaster up in the attic, you know, that I can tape to the wall or something like that, and run it that way.
You got your hand in a little bit of everything now, Tom.
Yeah, I got a little bit more extra green to mess around with. Not a lot, but enough to get little trinkets here and there.
Did you say you planned on getting your HF ticket, or you were studying, or is that just something that's later down the road?
On my bucket list, I guess you could say, or one of my goals. I mean, I was studying it on the website, and I was at a 76 proficiency, so I'm kind of getting there, and I'm also going to finish up my IS-200 for ARPC and get that done, you know, so I'm level one, you know, so I can be a little bit more deployable.
That's what I thought. I remember you said you were working on a couple different things.
Yeah, last night I had a little bit of time, you know, when I got home to mess with the mesh-tastic, and, you know, I wanted to get my VoIP all working. And I got that first. Actually, I was working on that as I was working on the mesh-tastic, figuring that out. You know, because my wife was with her brother, you know, taking him shopping because he doesn't have a car and he's disabled. So while she was doing that, I went to Captain Don's and picked up a radio that I left for him to try to get it flashed, and hung out there for about an hour, something like that. He showed me all his gear and how he does a lot of his stuff, and it really piqued my interest a little bit more.
It is, it's a ton of fun. You jump up into a whole new world of equipment, which is, I'm a nerd in the hardware side of things. I love gear. But it ain't cheap. I mean, even a cheap Zygu 6100 is still $500.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, I was looking at pricing on that. You know, but I got my DMR now. I got System Fusion. You know, so I'm playing with that. There's a guy down in Ohio that has a TYT 9600. So I'm going to throw me a price with shipping, and I'll buy it off of him. Because he's got an HT2, so he's going to get a package deal. My daughter has an interest in it now. Because she likes fox hunting. She had a lot of fun with that over the summer with the RPC group at the picnic. And so she's going to start studying when she gets a chance. You know, so I got a little bit of interest. My wife's got her GMRS ticket. You know, I'm trying to get her into ham, but she's like, I'm too stupid for that. I'm like, look, if 7-year-olds can do it, you can do it. You know, and then you heard, I haven't heard Wyatt on the radio over the past couple of days, but I talked to him Friday and Saturday, and he just got his ham ticket last week, and I got him sparked in satellite bounces and the ISS and stuff like that. So he's got a little bit of an interest, and he's working on his HF.
A new hobby, unfortunately, but I think it's something everyone should have just a very broad, high level, understanding of. Like, just get the basics of the concept. I don't know. Our infrastructure and phones are so not reliable. I mean, AT&T and Verizon have outages, people have outages all the time, and it doesn't even faze me. Not that I'm hitting my wife up on the radio, because she just won't touch one, but, you know, if that were the case, though, and everyone just carried a little HD around, it'd be kind of cool. But I think those days are long gone. Everyone's too dependent on the internet and a cell phone. But, I get here. I'm assuming Wyatt's the young kid. I turned on the radio last week when I was sick, and I heard Sean talking to him briefly, which I thought was really cool, because he sounds super young, but good for him.
Oh, yeah, he's just doing it, but he just got a little Baofeng HP, but he's using Echolink, and he just kind of, quote-unquote, stumbled upon FBI Central Michigan Network, and Sean was his first contact, and then I jumped, you know, then I was on my way home, so I jumped on there, and then Sean passed it over to me after he got to his QTH, and this kid is just full-blown awesome. He's got a friend that looks interested in it. And then he talked to, I call him Rocky John, K-8-W-U-O, and got him peaked on that. I told him about Captain Don and to check out his YouTube page. And his eyes just open up to a whole new world. He didn't know about all that, and he's really excited to pursue it even further. It's like, you know, after school sports. I mean, hockey, equestrian, and stuff like that. I mean, it's not cheap, but as much money my daughter's spending on tack and everything for her horse is, you know, I'm spending it on radios. Heck, hers is even more.
My bad, I had a call come in.
Oh, no, you're good. I said, if my daughter spent $400 a month, or $425, on board for her horse, times that by 12, what is that, $4,800? I mean, she could buy herself a nice HF rig and at least a decent HF antenna to throw out of the, you know, throw out in the backyard.
Oh, dude, $5,000, you could buy a hell of a setup. I think my mask was only $300. The antenna on the top of it was only $150, and then you can get an Icon 7300 for $1,000, or an FT710 for less. Power supply, which I'm sure you already have, but not those are cheap. You could get a pretty badass setup for $5,000 and probably have a lot of money left over for your mobile and your HD.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so getting her, we're going to work on that, as soon as she's ready. I'm going to set her up with the website and she can start studying to get her ticket because she's got a little bit of a bug in her bonnet now. And maybe her boyfriend as well.
My recommendation to everybody is hamstudy.org, the app. It's flashcards on your phone. It's convenient. You do it when you got time. You burn through it, and I hate to say it, you don't really need to learn the material. It's kind of just flashcards. Retain the information, pass the test, and it's your practice. It's your ticket to learn. So I've learned so much over the last 4 years of being a ham versus just trying to understand the concepts at the time of studying. So, but on that note, I'm going to clear out, and I'll catch you later. NADBF.
Sounds good. Have a good day at work. I've got to go to Battle Creek today to the airport and figure something out there.
Safe travels, man. Yeah, I was just back in the spot here. Sorry. I'm sure I'll catch you this afternoon, though. At 8 DDF.
7-3-K-3-K-3-L.
W8DD Mobile.
Phil, you listening here?
Yes.
So if you go to Broadcastify, look at Find Your Feed, click on, click on My ECFY, click on the feed that you're interested in. One of the red dots below it is Manage My Feed. and one of the tabs that pops up is technicals. All the information you need is in technicals.
Okay, yeah, I think I saw that page. I didn't delve into it yet, but I think I saw that tab. Okay. Sounds good. Got to touch it when I get home.
Yeah, it's not necessarily given exactly like they state it, but if you go to that page, you'll see everything they're asking for, I'm pretty sure. So, anywho, I probably had help when I was doing it, and just can't remember now, but anywho, give that a look when you get a chance, and if not, we'll take it from there, right?
Okay. Are you on your phone? You set up your hands over IP thing?
I'm on my Cisco, and I'm talking a long way away from it, and I'm talking quiet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the other question. So to transmit, you have to hit the three-digit code every time, right? And then, is there can you set up a shortcut for that, or do you have to do that every time?
I'm doing it every time. Whether there's a shortcut or not, I don't know, but I'm just doing it every time.
Okay. It'd be nice if they, you know, just use the, like, pound sign or something. So, again, some another thing I'm still got to learn a lot about. All right, catch you later. We'll see you here.
Yeah, I don't know of any other way to do it. I mean, pound is unkeyed, so they could use star for key and pound unkey, or toggle it, you know, pound keys and then pound unkeys. I don't know, but yeah, at this point, star 99 and no other way. All right, I got to get back to it here. I just wanted to tell you I looked in on that, and I think it's all pretty much there on that technicals tab. So, all right, we'll talk to you later. W8FU.
What was that? Dave here.
Yeah, it was, I thought I hit unkey and it said transfer. So I don't know why that happened. So I quickly hung up because I didn't know what was going on.
Oh, okay. Sounds interesting. All right. 7:30, KPR.
All righty. W8FU. Did it again. Weird. I just hit the pound on key and it says transfer. What are you hearing?
Tone, it goes like do 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 do, something like that.
Yeah, it's just when I hit the pound on key. I've never had that happen before. So you broke my Cisco. All right, catch you later. Hopefully it won't do it this time. If it does, I'm gonna disconnect and all that good stuff, and I'm not gonna comment again. W8FQ.
Oh, didn't do it that time. All right. Okay, Peter.
WS. BD8KLL.
KCKJL.
N-A-W-R-O, that you, Tom?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, question in regards to deployment. Did you get a shift over there with Warren Sirte or not yet?
I did my, you know, I did the application for the, you know, for the background check kind of thing, so got that done. But I got some, you know, after my monologue passing, I'm still dealing with house stuff and trying to get it cleaned out, and it's just, as that day that goes by that I'm not busy doing stuff.
Copy that. Not sure if it's going to be possible, and of course you do what you can do, and if you can't, that's fine too, but I'll be putting something out in regards to maybe Saturday. You know, if you're not available, that's understood.
Are you looking to join a search team?
Who's that? Sounds like Ron, maybe, N-A-W-R-O.
Jeff, K-D-N-G-A-N. I'm a coordinator for the Sterling Heights search team. I heard that. Ears picked up.
Yeah, not specifically. We're ARPSC, Macomb County, so we're kind of like our own team, but we're AOD to Warren to assist in their warming shelter. But in order for that to happen, we have to technically apply. But yeah, we did hear that you guys have one, so I heard we saw that you were out there during the flooding last year. That was amazing. N-A-W-R-O, back over to you.
N-A-W-R-O, C-A-C-A-S. Yeah, we've got a pretty active team, and we're getting hooked up with our city's fire department. We're going to start doing the rehab on multi-line fires. So it's an exciting time for us.
Copy that. We wish you the best. Appreciate the work you do over there. It was amazing. I think we saw some videos of what you guys were doing during those floods. They were pretty bad.
Yeah, chances are pretty good. I was probably in the background someplace. I have a tendency to find myself more of these things, you know, being one of the coordinators. Anyway, just thought I'd weigh in, say hello, and nice talking to you. N-A-R-W-O, this is K-D-A-C-A-X. I'll be monitoring.
Hey, copy that. I appreciate the QSO. You get a chance, go ahead and head over to our new webpage, MacombARPSC.org, MacombARPSC.org, and maybe we'll talk again. N-A-W-R-O, I'll be clear for now. Tom, have a good one out there. I'll be clear, but listening after yours, Tom.
Sounds good, Tim. Yeah, I'm going to check up that Strong Heights and the other stuff, too. I don't want to spread myself too thin. Doing Planning Commission and ARPSC. And then we're trying to get my brother-in-law moving along and packed up and finding him a place to, a HUD place for him to go for Section 8. You know, so it's a little bit full right now, but not too much. We have a net tonight right at 1900.
Copy that. Standard net tonight, although there will be a little different format to pay tribute to somebody. But standard time, 7 p.m. on 7.2.
All right, yeah, because I'm hanging out to East Lansing real quick, and then I'm going down to Battle Creek for the day. So I should be back in time, probably hit it on the mobile. We'll see how it goes, but I'm planning on it. But 73 to you. Let's get back to what you were doing. Talk to you soon. KCA, KCO, clear.
N-A-W-R-O, Richmond, clear QSO, listening.
10-8-WRO, this is KDA-BAX. You still there?
10-8-WRO, yes, sir, still here. Go ahead.
It took me a minute to remember what APR or ARPSC was, and I wanted to just say something. I have tried to get onto that net I don't know how many times. Can't do it with an HT from where I sit. I've got a 20-watt, 2-meter rig that'll do it, but it requires going out to the car.
Yeah, that especially if you're, if I think your QTH is where it's at, you might notice, I think we got it on the website, we did last year put in receivers in Warren, and a receiver not going to help you up here in Richmond, which is really nice for me. And, of course, we're listening from Mount Clemens. So it is a little bit of an issue on an HT from where you're at. It just kind of is.
Yeah, I'm at 15 in Ryan, roughly, all the way on the far side of the county from Mount Clemens, and just about as close to Oakland as you can get without actually being in it. And, yeah, I can't hit that silly thing. I don't know what it is, but maybe the tower it's on is not very high or something like that.
So that if you're hearing it decent enough to make it out, then you're hearing it being transmitted from Mount Clemens. So that's typically, of course, not the problem. But your transmit, we have a voter. If you drill down in that page, you'll see the voter and you'll see your signal. You'd be trying to reach the Warren Tower at an undisclosed location in that city. But it is a tower, and, you know, that'd be the ideal thing. But in any event, you may just be too far away. But your signal, if you look at the voter, it would be trying to hit the Warren. It'd be interesting to see what level that the voter signal is for the Warren when you try. We can. I'm happy to do a test right now or any time today if you're interested.
Yeah, it looks like I got a couple of minutes. They haven't noticed that I'm just sitting here at my desk yet. So let me see if I've got the frequency programmed into this HT or not. 1 second.
10-8-WRO, KCKVO.
Hey, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, real quick, I got a good spot right here. Echolink. We have an Echolink link to the Mount Clemens voter.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. That's another thing. We do separate from Central Michigan, but Echolink would still be a possibility if you'd really like to get in.
Copy that. Echolink just feels like cheating, and, of course, you know, for the use you guys anticipate, might not be available when something bad happens. But I understand what you're trying to say. I do have WA8MAC programmed into this guy. If you want to bounce over there and give it a shot, let's do it.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, I understand that. That's a lot of members feel that way as well. Stand by for a second. I'm going to call up the voter because I want to look. So stand by here for a second. I'll get right back with you, and we'll go over that way. N8WRO, 1 minute, please.
DAX, standing by.
So if you have a browser in front of you, it's wa8mac.org, Whiskey Alpha 8. MAC.org, and then you tap the voter button on the left, and you should be able to see it live. USY147.2, after you, N8WRO.
Okay, I'm going to flip to the other half of this dual watch radio and give it a shot.
Detroit ROs at mobile.
K8BB.
How about over here? Can you hear me?
WAVD.
Who are you trying to get, Wally? NAWRO.
Sean, I was talking to my ground wire and it dropped.
Copy.
Chilly.
Just a little bit.
I guess it's warmer than it was this morning on the way in.
But not by a whole lot. Oh, man. I'm less comfortable with it now than I was then. Go figure.
Well, did you eat something before you got in the car? Because that usually, all the muscles go to digesting and it makes you feel colder.
Well, I did not know that. And, I could still be digesting. I had some, canned fish and crackers and, some blue cheese olives, kind of a weird lunch, if you will, but I usually keep a can of fish and some crackers in the cupboard on those days where I don't want to go out or I can't get out. Gives me plenty of protein to get through the day.
Nothing wrong with that. If you can, I need mayo though. So hopefully you had some mayo on hand.
I did, but this is the, you know, like the Kipper Snacks or whatever. This was mackerel, canned in oil, so, you know, it wasn't really like tuna where you'd mix it up with mayo. But that'd be good, too. Keep some tuna around. Here's some mayo. I like my tuna salad a little bit more complex than that, but that would do in a pinch.
There you go. Yeah, this cold doesn't bother me as much as it used to. I got a new jacket this year, and it wasn't anything fancy. It's just it's warmer. So all these years I've been going around with a jacket that was keeping me cold, and then I get this new one. And it's like, oh, this is warm. I could take the dog out for a walk and everything.
Yeah, I was just talking about that. Same thing. I of all places, I was at, like Burlington Coat Factory or one of, come on. Of course, you know, you won't let me over. Of course not. Oh, maybe they are now. There we go. Anyhow, I'm not going to be able to get over the last step, am I? And no. So, these people. Anyhow, I went to some place like Burlington Coat Factory or some, one of these big places. I think that was it. And I was kind of looking for a heavy coat, you know, seeing if they had anything on the rack. And I found this single coat. It was like normally like $275, the Calvin Klein. And it was marked down to like $40, $35, $40. I don't remember what it was. But I tried it on. It felt great. And I said, you know what, for $35, I'll grab it. This is the best coat I've ever owned. It's like Calvin Klein. Go figure. Weird. But it's really, really warm, and it really protects the neck area. You know, it's got a good hood, and excellent for this kind of weather. So,
I just lucked out. It was the only one they had.
Yep, and it fit. You know, I got mine at, you know, BJ's. getting regular food. And I was like, you know, let me see what the jackets are like. And it wasn't that bad. It was about probably around that price, $40. But it wasn't anything name brand. It was just, it had really good lining and a good hood.
Yeah, I only say the name brand thing because I just thought it was funny. You know, it's like, who'd have thought that they'd make a decent, warm, heavy coat, you know? Like Dakota was saying the other day when we were talking about it, you know, you picture them selling pea coats or, you know, or dressy coats or something like that. You know, I never really thought of something like this. And, you know, so that, who knows? I'm sure it was just rebranded, somebody else's work, hard to say. And probably overpriced overpriced at the $275. It was probably one of them, you know, where they sticker it like that so that, you know, the place that was normally selling it, wherever, because, you know, they end up at that Burlington Coat Factory after they make their run at whatever store they're supposed to be at. And they probably were running it at, you know, $100 off, only $175. People, ooh, you know, and probably the price it was always designed to sell at.
Yeah, I believe it. People will buy any. I mean, I can't even imagine shopping in one of those. You know, you go to at Partridge Creek and stuff. You walk through it, but can't imagine ever shopping at a place like that.
Well, like I said, I go to the outlet places and I'll sometimes look around. The gloves I'm wearing are from one of them. I can't remember which one, Marshall's, I think. Same thing. They get all the leftovers and tend to sell stuff from other stores. So, you know, you get stuff at a fraction of the price. I'm a TJ Maxx, Marshall's, Burlington Coat Factory guy, you know, for the most part. And most of the stuff I got is great. I think I'm wearing pants, socks, and gloves, and a coat. I think pretty much everything I got on, maybe even the shirt I got on, might have all come from some sort of an outlet, you know, or place like that. Because I cheat.
Yep, I'm the same way, but stuff are coming from Amazon now. Amazon, or if I happen to be in, you know, the Costco's and the Sam's Clubs and the BJ's, and they all have that clothing section. I'll go through there every once in a while, see if there's anything that is decent, and I might pick something up. But it's, you know, like I needed jeans. I'm not going to go pay full price for, like, you know, if you pay full price for, like, Levi's, it's going to be crazy. But if you get, if you go through one of their areas, they're usually, like, half the price. Or even Amazon. Amazon's got good prices on stuff like that.
Yeah, I've looked at the discount stores, you know, like Sam's and that, but I've not really been a member of any of them long enough to really, you know, have used them. I bought plenty of crap out of Meijer's. I think I get my sweatpants and some other various things, and I bought any number of things from Meijer's. I'm easy. Remember that one? Was it Ben and Jerry's? That's ice cream. But there used to be a place that used to sell cheap Chinese clothing. Ben and something. I can't remember now. It was in, I think there was one in Lakeside Mall. You know the place I'm talking about?
No. I'm trying to think. No, can't think of anything like that. But I never went in those, like, outlet stores in the mall. I was always, you know, if buying clothes, I was always at the anchor stores.
Oh, man. Clothing at the anchor stores pay big money. Yeah. So,
There you go. But yeah, I forget what it was called. It was in Lakeside Mall, and they sold a lot of cheap clothes before it started popping up everywhere. But the nice thing about the TJ Maxx and Marshalls, and I think they're all the same, just different name, and you know, Burlington Coat Factory and places, you know, it's stuff that sometimes it's pretty high quality stuff that just, you know, they stopped selling it at the good place, and you know, they keep discounting it. If you get lucky, they run it down. Hold on, I got to order a coffee here.
With extra sprinkles, please. KFA.
Okay, order myself a white chocolate mocha because I'm being bad and I don't care. And I'm cold. Yeah, speaking of Costco, Anthony was telling me about they got a 4-pack of wool socks that are supposed to be a pretty smoking hot deal. I got to have him pick me up a pair or find somebody that can hold my hand, take me to Costco, because I don't have a membership there.
Wool socks, those don't get itchy. Yeah, I have to buy a bunch. I've gone through a bunch of socks lately. I don't know what it was. Our floor here was causing holes in our socks. And I'm like, what the heck? It doesn't do that anymore. I think it was maybe when it was new, when it was like the laminate was new. It was just making holes in all of our socks. So I went through so many socks. And then, of course, the dog likes socks, but she doesn't put holes in them. The floor does.
Well, I can't say any of the holes in my socks I can attribute to the floor, but who knows? It's weird. I've got socks that have holes. I don't know how in the hell it happened. And then other socks of the same batch, same age, same vintage, you know, and they're still perfect. You know, and maybe I just wore the other ones in a certain circumstance or something, but yeah, I was just noticing that the other day. And who knows what causes socks to go holy, but if you're having an epidemic of it, yeah, who knows. Now, the wool socks, if it's the right wool, I forget what they call it, Sherpa or something, I don't know what it is, there's a name for it. They're not itchy. You know, there's a wool that's itchy to me, and I would presume most people, and then there's the kind of wool that I'm describing now. I've got one pair of socks, and they're very soft and warm, and they don't itch at all. So I think it's a particular kind, and I'm not up on it enough to. I don't think it's Sherpa, but I think it's something like that.
The special sheep of the Himalayas, the Sherpa or wool or whatever. So, yeah, I've never heard of that before. I don't know. I feel like my feet would get overheated too. That'd be the other thing. So hopefully they're breathable.
Well, Anthony said normally they're $15 for a 4 set, and which is quite affordable because they got them on sale right now for $10 for 4 pair. So I'd call that quite affordable.
Yeah, at that price, you want to get 2, so you have 8. It lasts longer.
Yep, you know it. All right, I'm coming up to the window here. I got to fiddle with my phone and bring up the app and all that stuff so they can scan me and send me packing. And then check their suppliers about 2 blocks up. I got to stop there. And then I got to go finish out the day down by home. But I'll be back here in a bit. W8FU.
KFA does.
KFA to FLC listening.
K-E-8-R-U-H. W-A-R-I-D.
Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
KPR test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
NADDF.
NADDF, W-A-R-A-T. Good evening. How are you, sir? And if you could you kindly refresh me on your name? I think I know it, but I'm uncertain. Is it possibly Dakota?
That is correct. Good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. Just getting back from, I don't know, the Kalamazoo area here, back into town, and was all right until I got into town. Then things slowed up, so I'm just trying to figure out a way to head back. I'm probably going to take Jefferson back home from near downtown Detroit. So, kind of a long drive, but one more day and it'll be the weekend. Yeehaw!
That's what I keep telling myself. I just got on the road, and I'm looking at a nice 40-minute drive here if I can make it to the highway.
Yeah, you think like me. If I can make it to the highway. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah, I've had a three-hour travel time back and forth every day for the past week here. Thank God I didn't have to do an overtime job. Well, I'm going to gripe a little bit here and say there's a lazy coworker here who was giving excuses, but luckily they changed their mind here and sent somebody else out. So I was like, I didn't really want to have to go do this work, 6 hours driving back and forth, and then I have to go do one extra job.
I've been there. I've picked up a lot of slack in my day, and I still do every now and again, but not as much.
Well, what do you got planned for your evening? I'm going to stop at the grocery store, grab something, and got a couple of projects I need to do down in the basement. One of them, I got to see about building some steel shelves because I've been procrastinating a bit. I've got to clear out a spot in the basement floor to build them on here because I pulled everything out, and the whole floor is just like a, I don't know, it's a maze to walk through right now, so got to hurry up and get that cleared up here.
I was down in my basement the other day, and I thought to myself the same thing. I need to go get some more shelving because I got just stuff everywhere. We never really organized it after moving, and old house had a much smaller basement, so it was easier to stack and organize and place things. But now it's like, holy crap, every time I look over, there's a pile. But I don't have anything on the docket. I just want to get home, maybe eat some dinner. I don't know if my wife made anything or not, and just not think about work for a minute.
Yeah, no computers. Oh, boy. Yeah, I've been meaning to do this, and I've been getting better. My mother, when she moved about 10 years or so ago, she went, like, basically Spartan. She basically took only the bare necessities, just about, and she's encouraging me, but I'm much more of a pack rat. Way much more of a pack rat. I'm not quite, obsessive, so I'm like a hoarder or anything like that, but I do save more things than I probably should. And I always had to think, well, someday that will come in useful. But I've been getting better. I have thrown out some stuff and sold some other things that I didn't necessarily need. So I've been getting a little bit better, but I still got way too much that I really need. I got just 2x4s and stuff in the garage and, you know, stuff like that stuck in a garbage barrel, so I don't know if I really need to do that, because sometimes it's like it almost kind of counterintuitive. You think it'll help you later, but during the meantime, it's probably not making you any more productive.
I've been burned a lot of times throwing away stuff that I'm like, I'll never use this again, and then it seems like the week after I throw it away, I need it. I've got a lot of crap just because of different hobbies and things that I've enjoyed or do enjoy, and I try to not get rid of stuff that I'm eventually going to pick back up again, but I do have a bad habit of just selling or giving away or throwing away things that I don't think I need to hang on to, and I've rebought many of things, let me tell you, especially in the radio world. I've got an ICOM 705 that's the exact same ICOM 705 that I sold 2 years prior, so I've rebought that radio, and I've rebought an ICOM 2730B radio. I've rebought a 891, so I'm trying to get smarter with those types of decisions of just, you know what, just hang on to it. It's going to save you money in the long run.
Yep, I hear you on that. What was the comment I was going to make about, what hobby do you think leads to the most mess? Is it your ham radio hobby, or is it another hobby? And, I've got a couple radios, too. Well, I have a couple radios I bought and sold back and forth between myself and the same person I bought it from originally. And then years ago, I remember one of my first HF radios I picked up, I used a TS-520 from a gentleman out in Lapeer, and I had it for about 2 months, and then sold it back to him, and I kind of regretted that, because I like the audio from the 520. The only way I can describe it is the full body, I guess. So that's how I would put it. So I ended up buying another one from another person, but I've had a couple other radios that I have bought and sold back and forth. I've got another friend, well, he's a silent key now, but he was very much notorious for that. There were, on more than one occasion, we might be traveling back from a ham radio swap, you know, maybe in Ohio or something like that, and we're chatting on the radio as we're driving back. And he's already making plans to sell it as we're driving. You know, the radio he just picked up, he's already making plans to sell before we even get back home. So it was just, I think that was like his side hobby, I think. I think he really did kind of enjoy, you know, buying and selling radios. That was something I think was fun for him.
NADDF. I would say my most space-consuming hobby is definitely my hunting stuff. It's everywhere. It's my basement, basically. Followed by probably the RC cars that the kids and I play with, just because of the size of them. And then, radio doesn't take up a lot of space. I don't have that much gear anymore. The antenna's outside, so that's all situated. I've got the power supply neatly set up under the desk. I've got a 705 neatly set up on the desk, and then I've got wall plate SOT for all my coax. So it doesn't take up a lot of space. I've only got a handful of HTs, like my 878, which I'm on my third one. So that's another radio I've bought and sold too many times, and kind of even regretted it buying a third time. But it is part of radio I did enjoy when I was new, just buying and selling and trying new radios and eventually landing on the ones that I think are forever radios. So those radios I've kind of gotten smart with, if you want to call it smart. I've put more money into them than they need. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with Armalock, but I've got two radios in Armalock cages, which are pretty costly, and I don't think you'll ever get your money back out of the radio and the cage if you sell it. So those are my set them up, and even if I don't use them, leave them in the closet radios.
And WARIT. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of Armalot. I think I know what you're talking about. Is it something, I think I've seen it before, people use them for their go kits. It's sort of like a metal frame that you would put your radio and other accessories in, a sort of I guess sort of like a computer rack type of deal, so that way everything would fit in and be bolted down and you just pick up by the handles and go. Is that what you're referring to for Armalot?
I think we're on the same page. You might be thinking, oh God, what the hell is it called? Not Portable Zero. It might be Portable Zero, unless it's a battery. I don't know. There's a company that makes really nice aluminum rails, which I have a set. They're like $80 for a universal fit for mobile radios. I bought them for my 2730. Didn't really care for the fit. The radio's a little bit bigger because I have the Wave Icon mounts the head of the radio. It sticks out past the point of the rail protecting it, so I opted for the Armalock, and the reason being is they fully encase the radio. It wraps around the top, bottom, and the sides, and then it makes a nice standoff on the bottom so you can stand it up on end and none of your coax or power cables are bending. So I throw those in a bag with a battery, and that's actually what I'm talking on right now. But it's really expensive for what they are. It's just a little bit of aluminum, but they charge an ungodly amount of money. It's saved the radio more than once. I've already dropped this thing twice. And in the truck, that is, not on the concrete or anything, but it's fallen off the center console and smacked the floor and just turned it on, and it was like nothing ever happened.
Okay, so it's probably a little bit different than I'm thinking. You're probably doing like a more of a protective casing for the radio. Okay, I thought you were talking about more or less something just to install everything and have it, ready to go. Well, anyways, I wouldn't mind picking up to really think about what radio I would want to get, but I wouldn't mind getting a radio that's specifically set up for a go kit like that. But the other one, I'm kind of debating, a little hem and haw, and I'm not really in a major hurry. I've got other radios, HF radios, but I'm kind of thinking I might want to check out and see about getting SDR, like one of the, name is slipping me up. I'm forgetting the name of the manufacturer here for the SDR radios, but I'm kind of thinking about that a little bit myself. Although it's kind of nice to have knobs to twirl as well, too, but there's probably some nice things about having something computer controlled as far as that goes with the SDR. Oh boy, I'm going to probably take some time and go and look at their website. If I can remember the manufacturer name, it'll occur to me later on, but I wouldn't mind doing something like that at home. And then I moved, about 6 years or so ago, maybe 6-7 years, something like that. And I had a lot of my household goods in a storage unit, and I ended up picking them up, and one of the things was a Kenwood TS-440. And I know I brought it back home, but for the life of me, I cannot find where the heck it's at. I've got another bin, but like I say, I've got... This is one thing that I've got too much junk in. I've got like a big storage, actually two of them, big storage bin full of just pamphlets and trinkets and stuff like that from times I've been to Dayton. So that's something I need to pitch out. But I'm wondering if that's part of the process of cleaning the basement out, but I wonder if I get to the bottom of that and find my radio. Because I've been looking all over that for the past, 6 years or so, and can't find it. And it's like, I know I got it somewhere, just don't know where.
Is the manufacturer you're thinking of called Flex? That's the only SDR, quality SDR that I know of off the top of my head. And I guess that's not a terrible problem to have. You got radios in the house. You got so many radios in the house, you can't find all of them.
Yeah, I guess that is not a bad problem at all, I should put it that way. Yeah, I don't know if I've got too many. Well, I would say I've got too many radios. But that's something that's probably akin to many of us here. I did sell a couple to Tom recently that I had some HTs, but I probably had, good grief. I probably got now about 40 different HTs. Some of them were duplicates as well, too, so I figured, I got to pare down on some of those. See, that's some of the stuff that I hold on to that I probably shouldn't. Like, how many HDs do I really, really need?
I had the same problem before I got rid of a bunch of them, and I started going down that road again, just accumulating HCs. I think HCs are awesome. They're cool little toys, but where I'm at, they're useless, so they don't really get used a whole lot. And if they do, it's just hawk on the nose, so do you really need a snazzy HC to do that? Tom actually has my old RT3S. I sold him that, and I gave him a dual-band Yagi that he actually talks on. It's up in his attic now.
Yeah, I've heard him say he got that put up there. I think he said he had it aimed towards Mount Clemens, get better coverage that way. Yeah, that'll be something, another project I'll have to do. I've put up a lot of scanner radios there up in the attic. And that's something, I could very, very easily overdo if I really had, well, more or less I'd really want the real estate space, but I could very easily go haywire with many, many different antennas for many, many different radios, everything from, I don't know, AM all the way up to a satellite dish or something. So I could very easily go over, but I need to put up a couple others just for receiving in the attic. I currently rent, so the way that my chimney is set up on the roof, and I'm kind of like that myself. I don't think I would really want to be drilling into chimney myself as far as that goes, then couple that with it not even being my property. But that would be the only way I think I could, even with a 10-foot mast, have something that I would feel secure about that's not going to fall down or break or anything like that. Just because the chimney isn't very tall. I know they got the chimney straps that will go around it, but the way that it would be set up with the mast would be, it would be very little to have any kind of leverage to twist it and break it as far as any kind of wind, so it wouldn't be very sturdy, but I'm going to probably do the same thing. I got some disc cones and other scanner antennas I'm going to see about putting up in the attic just for reception.
When we were at our old house, I just put a Diamond X50 up on my chimney. It was a bungalow, so it was up there a good ways. And that served its purpose. It did pretty much everything I needed it to do. But the new house we're at, I talked to my wife and let me put up a Rome mast. So I got that set up. It's crazy what the height difference does. It's nerve-wracking drilling into the side of the house. In the first couple windstorms, I'd go out there with a bright flashlight and watch it, make sure it's not, you know, whipping around too bad. So, yeah, I mean, if you get an antenna up high, it's a game changer. I do have my HF wires on it, but I haven't touched HF in a long time.
And W8RAT. Yeah, mostly what I've been doing is I've been doing a lot of reception, a lot of receiving lately, kind of getting back into the hobby. But which I'd like to listen to areas of the radio spectrum that are outside of the ham radio as well too, and SDRs open up even more avenues for me. There was one time, probably about, I don't know, 1975 or so. I was a young boy with a shortwave receiver. And there was a point that I was like, oh, I wish these darn hams would be quiet on 40 meters so I could be listening to some of my shortwave broadcast stations. But look how things have changed.
That was one of the big selling features of the 705 to me, is it pretty much can hear everything. And that's kind of what I've done a lot too, is just not so much transmit, just kind of tune around and see what I hear, hear what I hear. Fine. I don't know how you phrase that. Hear what I hear. And the antenna made a big difference. And it's cool that you can hear, like, where I live with Pierre County, they still have all their dispatch on FM. So I'm actually able to pick that up, which is cool.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. It's been a while since I've been up towards Pierre County and got a few about programming from Radio Reference, all the trunk tracking info in there. But no, I didn't know that you guys are still primarily using analog. That's interesting. And probably pretty good for us scanner radio listeners.
Now that's just the emergency dispatch. I'm pretty sure, I don't know that I've heard, no, I might have heard police on there. I don't know. I know for a fact dispatch is still analog FM. And yeah, it is nice that I can just kind of tune that up and hear, if I see sirens or something, I usually get an idea of what's going on. Hear sirens. I'm all over the damn place today.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that a recent, what I'm considering a trend, doesn't continue. Because I know once Oakland County had shifted over from their open sky system to the MPSES system, that they went completely, I think the police and fire only, I should say, went completely encrypted. I know Livonia and Canton, I think everything, including the dog catcher, was encrypted, and then MSP went encrypted a few months back. Which, tell me your opinion on this. I'd like to hear it. I'm, as you get to scan radio enthusiast, so I kind of don't really care too much for the encryption part of it. I can see certain parts for, you know, detectives, drug surveillance, things of that nature being encrypted. And then maybe I would even be favorable towards, okay, if there's a certain scenario, you know, school shootings, maybe even a lengthy car chase, barricaded gunman situation, I guess. Maybe those could be encrypted, but then maybe at a certain part later they could be recorded and you can listen later. But I see that there are parts that could use it for safety, for not only law enforcement, but for us as well, too. But I also think that some of it's kind of taking away from the transparency, because some of it is just not all that really interesting as they might think it might be to other people.
At ABBF, I don't know. I kind of fall in the middle on that. I got a buddy who was a detective for last couple of years, and he told me a story one time. He was out on surveillance, just kind of walking on foot and radioed in, and he said like 20, 30 seconds later, he heard his voice on some guy's phone walking down the road, listening to them at, you know, while they're doing surveillance. So that would make me pretty uncomfortable if I was in that situation, especially, you know, as an undercover. But, yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe for traffic, I would like if traffic wasn't encrypted so I could just listen for it, because I think that's a bunch of crap, the way these guys sit. Like, I'm flying up 53 right now, and I guarantee there's going to be a cop under the underpass. And it's just BS, in my opinion. It's like, just go do something useful instead of writing tickets. But I think sensitive stuff probably should be encrypted, because the bad guys are getting smarter. Or they're just getting better tools is probably more than likely. Like, I don't know if you've seen all the Ice Watch people. They're all using Meshtastic now to communicate, which is good in theory, I guess, but I imagine the federal government's more than capable of cracking that encryption to pick up those communications. So I think encryption has a place and a purpose, maybe not everywhere.
W-A-R-I-T. Yeah, I think I can kind of agree with you. Maybe we should be discussing, you know, the details of that, and then maybe some changes in policy for that. No, I wasn't aware that they were using Meshtastic. It's getting a little bit technologically advanced, I guess, here, but that would be a little bit haunting. I don't think I would be too favorable for that. And part of it, though, is, you know, I think if your ambulance, anything like that, then yes, you should be punished somehow. But the other part is, you know, for example, like your buddy who was on duty, he's already doing something else, you know, another task, which he was, you know, assigned to, and he may or may not have been able to stop doing that to accommodate, you know, punishing the other person who is doing the ambulance chasing. So, you know, I've heard that from, you know, Sheriff Bouchard, you know, given some anecdotal experiences that, you know, stating that, you know, a lot of the deputies have had experiences with people, you know, following them and such, you know, with the use of the scanner radio. So I think in cases like that, yes, you should be punished, because that's not the proper use of it. And I would also like to let them know that, kind of counter his anecdotal side of it with other anecdotal stories, you know, because I've been interested for, gosh, 40, 50 years or so for scanner radios, and have read about it, you know, quite a bit of different experiences in, you know, different radio hobby magazines like stations and monitoring times, the times that they mentioned that, you know, there have been some good uses that come out of scanner radios by civilians to help out with police. Like there was one, just pretty simple, it was just a guy was listening to, I think it was some kind of police chase. Somehow the police lost the car, and he happened to see the car with the description, give the description, pull up in front of his house, and he's like, hey, you guys lost the car, I know where it's at, and he was able to help. So, there are some good uses of it, so, anyways, W-A-R-I-D.
That's probably the next radio-oriented toy I'm going to buy is I wouldn't mind a good handheld scanner to keep in my bag. For that, maybe not that reason, but just something I can just turn on, scan, and just listen, just to see what's going on around me. And I know I can do that on a lot of HTs, but the time it would take to program them sounds terrible. That and the scan speed. So I know Uniden's got some really sweet scanners. It's just they're pretty penny for a listen-only device. But like we just discussed, I got plenty of APs that I could probably get rid of to fund that.
Yeah, I've got a couple too. I bought the Radio Shack. I think I haven't used it in a while. I think it was a Pro 95 or Pro 96. I can't remember the model number. I think it's a 96. It was the first one they came out with, the P25 truck tracking. And I got it pretty much as soon as it came out, because it was about the only one that could do so. And I think I paid just over $500 for it. And yeah, it was kind of a lot of money just for a scanning receiver. Eventually, I'm going to see if I can get this other one put into my work van here. I bought a... Well, it's a Raspberry Pi SDR combination with a touchscreen display, like a tablet size, that I'm going to put in the work van here. And then I'll put on something for truck tracking, radio listening, but then I'll also be able to use it for just about anything else that I want to listen to. Analog or, you know, HF or whatever, depending on what kind of antennas I have that would be suitable for the use. But yeah, it's kind of a nice thing. It's kind of one of the other parts that I do like about not having some parts encrypted for police scanner. Because there's been a couple times I've, you know, been traveling down 94 or something and you're listening to MST and you hear about it. All of a sudden you hear a trooper say, okay, we're going to shut the freeway down. Well, you immediately know what you're doing here, then. The freeway is a near effective, so it kind of helps, you know, make you a I'd like to do that, too, so I have something, just about anything I would really want to listen to. And I'm going to probably suggest that to my manager at work, maybe because her husband's an engineer, so it's kind of a nice thing to have for the SDR, because you can use it to listen to, you know, AM radio, FM, TV, you know, for if you had like a manager in your area, or many other people who aren't so radio enthusiasts, that they could be a little bit better informed of, you know, what's going on around them.
W-A-R-I-T. W-A-R-I-T from NADBF. You got a little rough on that last one, but I was able to copy you through it. When you program your scanner, they don't come pre-programmed, I'm assuming, or they have zones. I have no idea how they work. I haven't really looked into them. Is there anything special you need to do? Do they come with specific software that makes program them much easier than individual frequencies, because obviously that would take forever?
Well, let me see if I can answer the question. I guess, do they come pre-programmed? I don't know about every manufacturer and every model, obviously. I'm not an expert like that. But I would say yes and no. When I bought my Pro 96, it didn't have anything locally as far as the Detroit area, but it had frequencies in there that you can use to scan through, you know, the FRS, GMRS, had the marine band frequencies, just positioning up for a green band on EHF. So it does hang not a whole lot. But the only bad part would be, and I don't really want to go, you know, trying, I'm not really that computer oriented for trying out, I think it was the wine you would use to be able to use Windows software on a Linux machine. So I don't think I'm going to go that far, but I do use a our software. It doesn't come pre-programmed with frequencies, but I've been doing it all myself by hand. And I've got quite a bit in. Still got a lot more to enter in, but I've got quite a bit in there. So it's kind of nice to have that handy reference so I can go just about anywhere I really want to listen to, whether it's CAP, you know, Civil Air Patrol on AF, FEMA, you know, doing the ALE, Automatic Link Establishment. And I've got a multitude of, like, shares of frequencies for government use. Okay, wonder what the... Trying to turn left here, but, okay. Decided he can't do it. Happened over here by, like, when I was getting a little rough, I have to let me know, Dakota, how my signal is. I'm just crossing Vernier off of Mac here. And kind of a notorious area, I think, for having a little bit of dead area for RF. But if you would also comment on how my signal is, am I still kind of rough?
Yeah, you're still a little bit rough, but you're copyable. You're readable. And yeah, it sounds like I got to do a little bit of homework before I make a purchase like that, because I don't want to get something that's going to be a ton of work. I know there's no such thing as a plug-and-play scanner, but as close as I can get to that, or something that's just convenient to program or import full frequencies is what I want to do. But on that note, I'm going to clear out here. I'm going to start getting rough, too. I'm a couple miles from the house, and there's really no good coverage out here. And I got to make one more phone call before I get to the house. So I'll listen out. It was good talking to you. And next time I catch up with you, I'll let you know if I ended up pulling the trigger on a scanner. I'll be clear for yours. Anyways, DDF.
Okay, 7-3, have a great evening here, Dakota. We'll chat with you later. Yeah, it's probably pretty good timing because I'm not too far away from the home myself here. So have a great evening, and we'll chat with you later, Dakota. W8RAD, 7-3.
This is KFA FQN listening. This is KFA FQN signing out, 73.
WDAKLL, KFA DIC.
Here he is. How you doing, Jack? WDAKLL.
Oh, I'm doing fine. How about you?
We're doing great. Just sitting here watching the news here. What about yourself?
I just finished 8, and I'm sitting in now watching the TV, like you. Roger?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we haven't been doing too much. She worked today, but I just hunkered down today and didn't do a whole lot. Played a little bit of radio, but that's about it. Yeah, I gave you a shout out a little bit later, or earlier, I mean. Didn't hear you out there, but good to hear you, Jack.
Oh, I was in the morning on GM,
And I said, Dad, I got on 10 meters. I count to five people, Headley and someone else this morning. I was talking to them. Then after that, I had some breakfast. And after breakfast, then I said, well, let me hit the shack for an hour or so.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I haven't done the nap thing in a while. I don't know. Just haven't needed it, I guess. But, well, that's good. Nothing wrong with a nap. I think you told me your truck, you got to turn that in the end of the month.
I called them yesterday. They told me I got to the 19th of next month. I was going to turn it in, but I haven't got a pickup truck yet. Maybe soon I'll get a pickup truck, one of them GMCs.
Okay, yeah, I know you were getting close there. I just was curious. Yeah, mine's been doing good, so I'm happy with it. No problems, other than the remote start's not working, but been too cold to mess with that. But, yeah, other than that, transmission's been fine.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, yesterday, I had about an inch and a half snow out there. I'm getting out there and shovel it. Today, no snow at all, which is good, but it's cold outside. And that's it. Last night, it dropped down to zero.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to get there tonight. Yeah, I've been plugging that truck in. They say once it gets down around zero, you need to plug it in to keep that block warm, those diesels. So I've been doing that. So it's been starting up real good, so no problems.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you got to plug that in. I think another week you have to be plugged in. Because that cold weather, you know, you don't want to hit it, then you have nothing but a problem.
Yep, even if I don't go out or, you know, go anywhere, I usually go out and start it up every day and let it run for a little bit. Just keep things moving around. So, I think, I don't know if I told you, I found some software for that World Radio League. Automatically changes your radio. If you click on, if you're hunting POTUS stations, it will automatically click your, you click on the POTUS station, and it will change your radio frequency and give the guys information and everything, just like you're getting ready to log them.
Well, I didn't know that. I like that, though. I really do like that. Maybe you can send me a copy or something like that. Or give me some website I can go through that.
Yep, we're going to have to get you set up, because that's a nice tool to have, especially after you get your general and you start hunting these guys on 20 and 40 and all that. So it makes it real easy. It makes it real nice, too.
Yeah, I've been studying like half an hour between day and day, you know, and I'm coming out with a good score, like 60, 70, sometime 80, you know, coming out with that, but not 100% yet.
Oh, that's all right. WD8KLL Friday. The guy, I don't know if I told you, Jimmy, that 432 on the GMRS side, he's getting close. I gave him that book, and he's been using the internet a little bit too, I think. And he said he's ready. He's getting 80-85%, so he's getting real close to go taking his tech license.
That's good. At least that book help him out, that's for sure. KF8DRC.
Yeah, he's been he's been struggling. He's been trying to study for, I don't know, at least a year, 6 months, 8 months or so, but he's really come around. I mean, he's got it, so I'm really happy for him. I hope he gets it.
I look at it, that book I was telling you about, that's what Professor Don gave me, that book. He says, take that book and study it that way, you'll pass it. And that is a good book. It really is. It helps a lot of questioning and answering.
Yeah, and the other guys, I think Sherman and his buddy Kevin over there in the GMRS side are studying to get their tech license as well. So there's a few guys coming back this way, because the other side's pretty much dead. You know, it's pretty much same old three or four guys, and that's it. And not very often you hear them.
Probably because of that cold weather. You know, nobody would be on the radio or something like that. But I don't know, you know, it should be. Winter time is good for radio because not everybody go out, but people work. And afterwards they say, we got to play radio, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure, so. I'm having fun with that that new software. I was messing around with that today. I finally got it. It's a beta. They call it beta program. So it's kind of in the testing phase, but it works. You just gotta download the software and get a cable to go from your 710 over your computer, and then it's pretty easy to set it all up. You gotta get the broad rate between the computer and your radio set correctly, and after that it works beautiful. I couldn't believe it. It'll even change from 10 meter to 20 meter to 40 meter. It just changes bands for you too.
Oh, that's a new thing. I like that. Change from one to another one, from 10 to 40 or something like that, or 20.
Yeah, I was messing with it. I did not know it did that, so I, you know, put a couple 10-meter and 20-meter up there, and I started clicking on them. All of a sudden, the radio just switched right bands right on over to the guy, and right to his frequency and everything. It makes it nice.
Yeah, I don't know. That QRZ doesn't have that much. You know, not much really going on the QRZ. But that WRL is good, too. It's really, I get a lot of YouTube from them every day. This is what they're going to do, and this is what is going to be up next week or next month, too.
Yeah, I get the same alerts or what have you from the guy, Andy, I think his name is. He's a product manager, and he does YouTube updates on their software. And they're always adding stuff and updating their software. And yeah, for field day, it was real nice because it was all altered right for field day, and you just put the information in, and it logged.
That's good. Anyhow, at 8:30 today is Thursday. I gotta go on Land Cruiser Met tonight. So that's why, you know, I'm sitting watching TV for a little bit till we get that time. KF8 DRC.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here watching the news, kind of while I'm chatting with you, but. Yeah, I've been hitting the that Ole Miss net, 40-meter net, and 80-meter net. They'll start out with the 40-meter first, then they'll have the 80-meter net following that. They're usually an hour and a half or so to 2 hours long. But I've been having a lot of fun on those.
Well, that's good. Anyhow, Greg, I'm going to keep going here. And we'll talk to you. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you again. And if we don't, we'll text you again. One at a time. Take care. KFA, DRC. I'll listen out.
Okay, Jack. Always good talking to you, my friend. We'll chat with you later. WD8, KLO, will be clear.
KC, KGO, WAVD.
N-A-W-R-O, N-A-W-R, N from N-A-W-R-O. Gary, do you copy? Nothing heard, N-A-W-R-O, clear.
Thank you.